5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister looking. You know, the look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got an announcement. Where do I start with this? You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I see a lot of people out there trying to copy what I do, trying to copy the things I do. And at the end of the day, it just doesn't work. It just really doesn't work. And so, you know, I got to thinking last night. I was with family and friends, and I got to thinking last night, you know, I think I'm going to retire. Maybe I'll step in from time to time, see how things are going. But I think it's time to hang it up and retire from this. And of course, I'm talking about poker. I smoked my brother's last night, old Gregor. I'll point shoot you in the back, Gregor. Destroyed him in poker. Destroyed Woody in poker. I'm starting to think at this point I can't be beat. I really can't be beat. put together a little montage here. Hope you enjoy it. This goes out to Woody and Greg.
Hey, loving man, you've been called.
Oops.
What is that now? The 12 hands in a row holiday? Son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Why, Ike, whatever do you mean?
Take it easy, boys.
Maybe poker's just not your game, Ike. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
I bet if I just ring your scummy down.
I'd play that song. That's why they call it the blues. Every time they would try and call me all in, and I had the upper hand. Great time last night. Had a blast. You know, sometimes in life, you got to step away from what you do full time just to kind of recharge the batteries. And I had a great time last night. Even though I'm a poor winner, my brothers are actually pretty good losers. So. Thanks, guys, for... thanks for your money, I guess. I want to give a shout-out to Andrew from Springfield, Missouri, or Missouri, depending on what part of the state you're in. Andrew, thanks for listening. And I also want to give a shout-out to Jennifer and her husband, Mike. Happy 9th wedding anniversary. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Mike, I apologize I didn't get back to you on the email. Don't be bummed out. I don't even remember seeing it, to be honest with you. It may have ended up in my spam folder, but I will check it out. But I want to give a shout out to Jennifer and Mike. Thanks so much, guys, for listening. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, please go to the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. I have blogs up there. There's some additional shows. If you get a chance, go check it out. But again, if you've had an encounter, please email me. I'd love to hear about it. Love to talk with you. Wes@sasquatchchronicles.com is my email address. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Wolf to the show. Hey, Wolf, thanks for coming on tonight, man.
No problem. Nice to be here.
And if you would, kind of start from the beginning. I mean, you had a pretty terrifying encounter with these things. And actually, before you start, I think it's important for people to understand, you really haven't told anyone this story before.
No.
As you and I talked last night, it became really clear to me that, you know, as you and I talked, you really didn't buy into the whole Bigfoot thing prior to this. And that's what makes it even more fascinating. But if you would, for the audience, just kind of start from the beginning. Tell us what you were out doing, who you were with, and then what happened.
Sure. Well, you know, like you said, I mean, I'm a pretty open-minded guy. I wouldn't call myself a skeptic, you know, about Bigfoot or a lot of things. I mean, as far as, you know, like vehemently deny, you know, something like that against the whole idea. But it was just really something that I just didn't really think that much about in general, period. You know what I mean? Unless you've been living under a rock for the last 50 years or something, you know, you've seen the Patty films, and you know, you see, you know, stuff on TV and movies and things like that. But that was pretty much, you know, in my world, that's pretty much all I knew, and it just wasn't something that, you know, I ever really thought that much about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. How many years back did this happen?
This happened, I guess it would be in 08, so that would make it about, 8 years now?
Yeah, about 8 years, going on 9. Yeah, if you would, just kind of start from the beginning. What were you guys out doing? And
this whole thing, well, to set the, you know, kind of stage for everybody, this took place in late summer, late August, not sure exactly what day, but late August, of that year, I was living in upstate South Carolina, around the Clemson, you know, Greenville area, and having moved up there a couple years prior to this, you know, I met a couple really cool guys, became pretty tight friends with, and you know, we shared a lot of the same interest. We all liked, you know, fishing, hunting, backpacking, hiking, all that kind of stuff, camping out. And, you know, we all had our 9-to-5s, but we, you know, whenever we could make plans to, you know, get off work, you know, just kind of like a lot of people do, I guess, you know, what we like to do, you know, in our free time was to, you know, get out of town, get away from people and unplug. And, you know, to this day, that's still one of my favorite things to do. I wasn't born, you know, even though I'm from South Carolina, I'm from, you know, the beach, and, you know, so I'm not, I'm, you know, I'm a Southern boy, but I'm not from, you know, the country or, you know, a farm or anything like that. And, although, you know, I've been doing this, you know, most of my life, you know, camping out in my spare time, I definitely wasn't, you know, like a pro at it. I wouldn't call myself an avid hunter or a...
So you and your friends go out hiking pretty often.
Right. We do this. We started doing this, you know, fairly regularly. I'd say, you know, a couple times a month, you know, 3 times if we could. If we could all get... And it's hard, you know, for 3 people to, with different jobs, to all get the same time off all the time. But, yeah, you know, we'd pack up our gear, throw it in the truck, and it's only really like a drive of a maybe 30-40 minutes to get to the North Carolina border, and maybe another hour after that. So it's not really a long drive. we would go up to, what we'd like to do is go up toward the Asheville area. And if anybody isn't familiar with that part of the country here in the Smoky Mountains, particularly the Blue Ridge Parkway, and it's just one of the most beautiful places on God's green earth. If you've never seen it, you know, I'd recommend anybody to go there. It's just great. If you're into wide open spaces and the great outdoors, yeah, it's just a really beautiful, unique place, you know. So that was our place, and we would go, as far as like maybe the Tennessee border, Mount Macon, in between there and Asheville and the surrounding Asheville area, Black Mountain. There's a lot of great, spots up there if you're into camping out. So
you guys are up there. Walk us into what actually happens up there. Are you guys camping or are you guys hiking?
We were. Well, we were doing both. What we would usually do is, you know, we really wouldn't have a game plan. We would just kind of, the only plans we would kind of ever make is to just find a good spot. And we like to be, away from the campgrounds, away from, you know, the noise and people in RVs and, you know, a bunch of people in a spot. We try to get out on our own as best we could. And we would, being in the kind of a mountainous terrain, that kind of landscape, what we would actually do is we'd sleep in hammocks. When you set up a tarp, you know, to kind of have something overhead in case of any kind of rain or anything like that, and you just, you know, sleep in a hammock, you can, you don't have to necessarily be on flat, you know, even ground.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, sleeping in a tent. You know what I mean? You can, as long as you find two trees, you know, you could be on a really steep place and still, you know, kind of camp comfortably. The only thing you really need flat ground for, I guess, is cooking and stuff like that. But, we would set up a campsite. We'd find a cool spot, a place that we liked. And we'd leave, you know, the majority of our stuff and just kind of put on the packs and just hike around. And this particular time, we were we had planned to do a 3-day thing, and we were up there. The first 2 days were pretty uneventful, and we got used to being up there. And it was the third day is when I had my encounter.
Okay, and if you would just walk us into what happened. So you're out with your friends. This obviously isn't your first rodeo out in the woods. You guys do this a lot, camped a lot of times, and you're out there for 3 days. And then on the first 2 days, nothing happens. And walk us into that third day, because that was a terrifying encounter.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. On the third day, we were out there, and we were hiking down a slope, a side of this mountain, and we were fanned out. There were three of us, kind of uphill from me were my other two buddies. I was the furthest one down the mountainside, so we weren't all. In other words, we weren't all walking together. We were spread out a good little ways, out of sight from each other. But not that far, but you know, no visuals of anybody else. I was pretty much by myself at this point, and I was walking. What I was doing exactly was I was kind of traversing this. I was going across a slope. I'd say it was probably about, you know, it wasn't steep like a rock wall, but it was probably, I'd say, 45-degree slope, maybe a little bit less. It's when you're walking across a terrain like that, you kind of have to take it slow. Especially when you got gear on, stuff like that, with the deadfall and leaves, foliage, and stuff, rocks. You know, if you take a wrong step, you know, you can go sliding down a little bit ways. So you got to be careful. That was what I was doing, and I was kind of just trekking along there, and decided to take a break set my stuff down and get a drink. I found a tree I could lean, you know, my pack up against so it wouldn't go sliding downhill on me. There was, I'd say about between, it's hard to remember exactly, between 10 and 20 yards downhill from me, there was one of those parts of the woods where it's just really thick, just bramble, saplings, you know, undergrowth, all kind of stuff, to where if you're hiking in the woods, you kind of, you know, you see a spot like that, it's, you know, you think to yourself, yeah, there's no way I can even come close to making it through this stuff, so you kind of walk around it, and that's actually what I did. I kind of went up and around this little area. When I was right above it, you know, is when I stopped to kind of take a break. I had to kind of pack on where, you know, it latches around your waist, and then you've got two back straps. I had a big pack on me at the time, and I had unlatched it around my waist, and I had about half of one of the shoulder straps off when I started to hear some noise in this really thick stuff below me, and it wasn't quiet like I could tell, you know, it wasn't so quiet to where it was just like a squirrel or a bird or something, but it didn't, to me at the time, it didn't seem like something that heavy, like a bear or a person or anything like that either. But I could tell that there was something there, and honestly, I didn't really pay that much attention. You know, I heard it for maybe 5-10 seconds. This whole thing happened really quick. The whole experience just happened so fast. Try to slow down and recall, you know, the details of it. But I'm taking my pack off to lean up against this tree, or that was the plan. And I start hearing this noise kind of rustling around below me. And at this point, I'm faced uphill, so I have my back to this noise. And everything just happened from there on. It just happened so fast, and it was just so crazy. Basically, where I heard this coming from, you know, it turned from a, kind of like a rustling to just like a semi-truck coming through the woods. Just crash, boom, 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 boom. And I mean, in 2 seconds, I basically, you know, when things are happening really fast, you know, you still have a million kind of thoughts going through your head every millisecond. And I knew something was about to happen. You know what I mean? Something was obviously charging me from behind, and I knew it was something big. Bear, elk, deer, something. But by the time, what I tried to do was I tried to, you know, kind of turn around, see what's coming at me. Kind of, like I said, I'm a really steep slope, so I kind of started, with this pack on my back, I kind of started to slip. So if you can picture it, I'm kind of sliding, my feet are sliding down, because this thing really, you know, surprised me. Started sliding downhill behind me, so like kind of sliding down and onto my face. And the last thing I kind of remembered was before I could slip and fall, I just felt my body kind of being lifted up off the ground, and whatever had picked me up had sent me just flying forward into this tree, you know, that was ahead of me.
So this thing actually hit you?
Actually hit me, man. It wasn't a bluff. I got charged. That's what happened. And, you know, at this point, I didn't know what it was yet. All I knew is I kind of got startled, tried to turn around, slipped, and then just kind of got lifted up off the ground, hit this tree, and,
So you get thrown. You're now on your stomach,
right?
What happens?
Well, basically, I think, you know, this thing came from behind me, pretty much. I think what it did was it kind of took a swipe at my head or neck, and if I hadn't slipped the way I did, it would have connected pretty good. But what it ended up doing was catching my pack instead. And, you know, like I said, it picked me up. I mean, like a rag doll. And the left side of my face head went into this tree and kind of bounced off and just landed on my belly. The first thing you think is like, damn, what just happened to me, you know? I'm laying on my stomach, and the first thing, first of all, I'm just really, I mean, I'm in pain. Adrenaline is pumping and all that at this point, but my face, my head, my whole body is just racked with pain. I mean, the wind was really knocked out of me. Bad. I kind of felt like if anybody's been in any kind of substantial car wreck or something like that, it was a kind of feeling like that. Like, you know, you're just kind of in a daze. The first thing I saw after that, you know, laying on the ground, was this big pair of feet standing over me. That's when I kind of started coming to grips with what it was that had actually charged me. And you know, like I said, I hadn't, you know, didn't have that much knowledge of Bigfoot at the time, and it's kind of one of those things. To be honest with you, West, at first, like, I thought like something had like knocked me silly and I was tripping out. Like, I was like, really, is there like a a giant gorilla in the woods in North Carolina? I don't think so. Like, this thing really knocked my head good or something. But you know, you're kind of waiting to snap back to reality, and you know, it didn't happen. I was already there. You know what I mean? There's no reality to snap back to. I was face to face with it, and yeah, like I said, I was laying on the ground, and I just saw this pair of legs and feet standing over me. That's the first thing that happened.
What did the feet look like?
Well, they were giant. First and foremost, they looked, well, they were hairy. They were really funky, dirty. I'd say, you know, if you tried to put a shoe size on this thing, it would probably have been like a size 30 or something. It's just huge. Long foot. It was wide, but it was a lot longer. They were a lot longer than they were a wide across. Even though, you know, both ways, they were just massive, man. And there was hair coming down, I'd say to about an inch or two before, like, where the toes would have started. But what made me instantly, you know, kind of realize, you know, what I was dealing with was, you know, this wasn't a person's foot. And it wasn't like any primate's foot I've ever seen before either. The toes, you know, if you take your shoe off and you look at your own foot, you know, you kind of got big toe, and your toes as they're going down get smaller, and pretty neat and uniform. Well, for most people's feet, this thing's feet weren't like that at all. Some of the toes were longer than the others, and they didn't all kind of go the same way. Some of them kind of went out crooked from the others. Like I said, they're just really big, funky feet. The skin where there wasn't hair was kind of like an ash charcoal color, I would say. And, you know, it had toenails. It had all the stuff, you know, I guess a foot would have, but just, you know, dirtier, funkier, hairier.
And so what happens next? You're laying there. It's now standing over the top of you. You're face down. What happens next?
Well, I'm terrified, and I'm thinking, I'm dead. That was the main thought going through my head. So you can imagine just the state of shock and pure fear. I'm in at this point. I'm laying face down in the dirt with, you know, bark embedded in my face. But I tried to, you know, kind of turn my head up and to the left to see the rest of this thing. And as soon as I do, I just get blasted. This thing just let loose a roar, whatever you want to call it. And it was like, being blasted, like somebody taking a bullhorn, you know, putting it right next to your head. I mean, it almost like blew my hair back. You know what I mean? It felt like that. You hear people talk about, you know, hearing a Bigfoot vocalization, feeling it in their chest. You know, you hear a lot of people saying they could feel it in their organs. I understand exactly what they're trying to say. It was just like that. It's like this sound wave just went through my head. It didn't like me. In other words, trying to move and look up at it. It pretty much just let me know, you know, don't look at me, don't move. You know, I'll crush you like a bug. It was truly terrifying, and it started after it blasted me. The first time I tried to look up at it, it pissed it off even more than it was already pretty peeved, you know. And it started doing this kind of like a rock sway. I could tell it would kind of sway to the left and then sway to the right, and then it would kind of rock forward toward me and then rock back. And it did this kind of motion four or five times, I'd say, you know, for a few seconds. And I tried to turn my head again, and it did it again. You know, it let you, you know, it's, you know, don't move.
So it roared at you again.
It did. It roared at me two times. After the second time, I heard some more rustling in the area from where this thing initially came from, below us, you know, again, downhill from us. And I could tell when that happened, this thing kind of went to turn around and look at whatever, you know, was making this noise below us. And that was when I kind of took the opportunity to kind of use my peripheral, you know, to kind of look up as best as I can. And that's really, you know, the first I saw of it, you know, above the knees.
Can you describe what you saw?
Just, I mean, it was like, you know, it's crazy. You know, I'm seeing something that's not supposed to exist except in like a movie or something. I was just awestruck, still in a daze, but just awestruck. And what I saw was probably, I'm about 6.5 feet tall, so I'm a fairly tall guy. What I was looking at was probably a good foot and a half taller than me, at least. And I'm not very good at, you know, guesstimations and weight, but this thing was just giant. I mean, it was just a giant standing over me. And it was really the first thing I noticed before I saw its face. And with its body, it was just this thing was just, it reminded me of like a refrigerator or a just a huge trash can, like a Pelican or a shipping container or something. This thing was just massive. Its shoulders were probably, I don't know, 3.5 feet across. But what was weird was the whole thing was weird, but what I noticed was it kind of kept that general width from the shoulders to the torso and midsection right down to the hips. I mean, this thing was just wide all over, just big and wide. It had a really, really dark brown coat of hair on it, almost so dark it was black, but not quite. And it was pretty uneven as far as the length went, depending on, you know, the area of the body. Some of it was shorter, some of it was longer.
It was round like a barrel, then, is what you're saying. It was kind of had that round.
It was so yeah, it was round. I mean, it was just a hulking thing. Really, really, really wide and big and just big all around. Just big all over. It had some, you know, I noticed some muscle and stuff, but it wasn't like a lot of accounts, you know, I've heard on the show where people describe, you know, that cartoonishly ridiculous, like you know, wrestler or bodybuilder, but you know, times 10. It really wasn't like that. It was just more stocky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get descriptions like that here, especially like in Washington State. If you go to the northeast side of the state, a lot of the reports witnesses will tell you is it looked like a barrel. It was just, it was huge, but it was just thick, round and thick, and built more like a barrel than like a, like you said, a bodybuilder. So it's not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, it's like a huge oil drum, you know?
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people here in Washington State say. Let me ask you, were you able to get a good look at the face, and how would you describe it?
Only briefly, but, you know, it doesn't take but, you know, just a glance for you to get a lot of details. And remember, I caught the face as it was looking back downhill. It only did so for, you know, a couple seconds and turned its attention right back around to me. And as it's kind of coming back around, I was scared of getting caught, you know, turning my head and looking up at this thing because it had warned me twice at this point. And I was really in fear for my life. So I kind of, you know, I saw it coming back around and kind of, you know, put my head back down. But yeah, I saw it briefly. That's the part for me, you know, to put it into words, it's kind of the hardest thing, the hardest part about it to describe to somebody, I guess, you know what I mean? The skin on the face, well, first of all, there's this thing kind of had like a hairdo, almost. It had longer hair. The longest hair that I noticed anywhere on this thing was on its head. And it's almost like it kind of had this mullet hairdo. It's, you know, strange as that might sound, but it also had hair on its neck. So there was really its face was the only, you know, above the chin to right above the eyebrows was the only place on this thing that wasn't covered in hair where I could actually really see skin besides the feet. But it was the same color as the feet. It was that same dark, again, you know, like a charcoal or ash color pigmentation. First thing I noticed was the eyes. This thing it's just mean. The best way I could describe the expression on this thing was it's just, I mean, if looks would kill, could kill, I'd have been, this thing would have killed me. I mean, it was just, had this grim, just glaring look on his face. I mean, you could tell this thing was not too happy. Really, really intense, dark eyes. You know, it wasn't like, you know, me or you, Wes, where you kind of have the whites of your eyes. You know, you have the colored iris and then a black pupil in the middle. This thing, it's just really, really dark all the way through. I could tell it had something in there. It wasn't just straight black-eyed. But the difference in colors and tones were very close to each other. So what it looked like, you know, at first glance, was just these really intense dark eyes. And these things were kind of set kind of deeper into the face, to where the brow above them, you know, it made it look even more pronounced, if that makes sense. From there down, I had a really, really, really wide nose, like this bell pepper kind of flat nose. As big as it was, it probably only came out from the face maybe an inch or so. So really wide and flat, even wider than the nose was the mouth. I mean, this thing just came out, really, really wide mouth, almost came around on each side, almost to the corner of the jawline on either side. And that's pretty much what I saw. It was really scary. Really scary to look at.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I've heard they're not real pretty to look at in the face, especially if you get a
good look. No, and it also kind of had this look to it to where, kind of like a Down syndrome kind of look. It was surprisingly, you know, I hear people try to go between, if the thing was more human looking. I hear, you know, a lot of people and others say more gorilla. What I saw really wasn't, it didn't really strike me as either one, you know, but what it did kind of have a look of was kind of like this Down syndrome kind of cleft palate lip kind of look to it. And that's, you know, mostly what I noticed.
As you were saying before, so you wouldn't really say it looked gorilla or non-human primate, and it didn't really look human to you, what you were looking at?
No, not really either one.
And so as you were laying there on your belly, was the creature, besides looking off in the distance, was it breathing heavy? Was it doing anything else besides rocking back and forth?
It only did the rocking for a second after, you know, the first time I tried to kind of turn around and look up at it the first time. It didn't do that for that much longer after that. The whole time, though, it was breathing heavy. I mean, this thing was really worked up. It was really deep, slow, heavy breath. This thing was really, really mad and worked up, you could tell.
Could you tell, was it female? Was it male? Did you see any organs showing it might be male or female?
When I looked up, I didn't see, I didn't notice anything in its crotch. I mean, it was directly above me, so, you know, if there was something dangling there, you know, I think I would have noticed, but I didn't see anything like that. I didn't see any breasts on the chest, but if I had to guess, you know, I'm no expert or anything, but I would guess female, just because of the other accounts that I've heard. If I hadn't heard, you know, other people's stories, I wouldn't know this, but you know, you hear a lot of the time, you hear people talk about the males, you know, they have this really, really wide set of shoulders, traps, you know, neck muscles, and the whole thing, it's, you know, big all over, but it compared to the shoulders, it kind of tapers down, that kind of thing. You know, just these big arms and shoulders. This didn't really have that. You know, like I said, it was just really wide and stocky all over. And, you know, although I did, you know, this thing was, it was cut. It was, you know, it had some muscle on it, that's for sure. But it wasn't, like I said, the cartoonish big bodybuilder look to it. And also, I kind of, you know, not at the time, but since the encounter happened and I had time to kind of think back on it, the roar didn't sound as deep and guttural as a lot of people describe male vocals being either. So I would guess a female.
I gotcha.
I guess a female.
So what happens next? You're laying there on your stomach. You've seen its feet pretty well. And you're
right.
Trying to get a glance of what you're looking at. What happens next?
I'm laying there. I'm hurting. This thing had kind of blasted me a couple times. And at that point, you know, my other two buddies had heard this, of course. I mean, you could have heard this thing for a mile around us. But, you know, they started calling. I heard them, you know, calling my name. And of course, you know, I'm not moving. I'm not answering them. I guess, you know, they started, you could hear, you know, one of them coming down my way, you know, to check on his buddy. And this thing, you know, we both heard it. And I think this thing realized, you know, there's other humans, you know, heading this way. And it basically just, I mean, it almost just disappeared. It turned back downhill, you know, another, you know, 5-6 steps, and this thing was gone. That's the last I saw of it. You could kind of hear it, you know, and getting the further it ran downhill, you could hear it, you know, getting quieter and quieter as the distance, you know, it covered, you know, the farther it got. And, you know, within a minute or two, you know, one of the two buddies that I was down there with, I pretty much just, you know, soiled myself. I was just in shock, man, and I kind of just blacked out. Couldn't believe what had just happened to me, and you know, I'm kind of coming to my friend. You know, like I said, shaking me, and you know, what happened? You know, are you all right? You know, that kind of thing, and. From then on, it was just a matter of, you know, I had to be helped up. I couldn't walk for a minute. I was literally felt beat up that bad to where, you know, I kind of had to sit there for a minute and, you know, get my breath back.
What did you tell your friends what happened?
Well, you know, immediately they were asking, you know, what happened? What was that? That sounded crazy. You know, are you all right? You know, I've got, you know, like I said, you know, I've got, you know, the bark off this tree in the side of my face. And one of them took his pack off and got his first aid kit out. And they're, you know, kind of treating that. And honestly, West, I didn't tell him anything. I was so out of it at this point. I couldn't even talk. You know what I mean? And after, you know, not too long of a time, you know, they kind of looked at each other and could tell, like, you know, this guy, he shook up really bad, and let's just get him up and get him cleaned up and get his stuff and let's get him out of here. And we didn't stay the rest of the day. I mean, I you know, it was our cue to get out of there. I think, you know, that event kind of, and to this day, they still don't. The funny thing is they don't know. I've never told them what really happened. And I think, you know, the whole way back, you know, in the town, they're like, was it a bear? You know, was it a, what was it? You know, and I just couldn't, I didn't speak a word until we were really back at my house a couple of hours later when I felt relatively safe again. But that's just kind of what they assumed happened, and I just never corrected them on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why were you worried that they might ridicule you over it, or?
Yeah, kind of a little bit. Later on, I was. At first, I just really didn't. You know, these were really good buds of mine. And if anybody, I think, in the world would have, if I would have told, you know, told the truth and told somebody what actually happened, I think if anybody out there would have been open-minded enough to believe me, I think, you know, these two guys would have. Because, you know, they're two of my best mates in the whole world. But even with them, I mean, It had never been a subject we'd ever talked about. And I'd seen, or heard of other people talking about this kind of stuff, and you know, you see the reaction, you get laughed, the butt end of somebody's joke, or so. I just didn't want it to be that. I know my friends, and I know what they would have thought. But at first, I was just, before I got to thinking about that kind of stuff, at first, it was just, I just simply didn't know how to express, in words what I'd just seen and what had just happened to me. Even to this day, it's just hard to believe what happened. It's just so crazy.
Did that put an end to your guys' hiking?
It didn't put an end for them. It didn't, for me, it didn't put it into it. For me, it was quite a long time before we went out again together. Yeah. It was quite a while. I mean, at least a year or so.
Do you think the creature was protecting young ones? And why do you think the creature didn't kill you?
I think basically luck. I don't know. It's hard to say. I've had plenty of time to think about this, and that's one scenario, I've thought of. if not youngins, maybe, just other members of its group. But it did. It definitely, when I had the time to think back on it, it did really come across to me as a more or less instinctual kind of protective act that this thing displayed. It obviously wasn't trying to intimidate me, or it would have just barked at me from the bush, and we might have had a stare down kind of moment, or a bluff charge or something like that. But intimidation, that doesn't really make sense to me, and other things. It really did kind of come across as a kind of protective thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it out. I'm glad it didn't kill you. It's a terrifying account. I mean, I can't imagine being there, and it probably thought you were reacting, trying to come towards it as you were actually slipping and falling, and that's probably why it actually charged you and hit you the way it did. But it's interesting too, the creature's behavior. I mean, if it really wanted to kill you, it could have just stepped on your head and squashed it like a grape, but it was just kind of holding you at bay. And it makes me wonder why it was holding you at bay. If it was trying to, as you looked up, it was looking off in a different direction. It makes me wonder maybe if there was young nearby or something else nearby trying to get you to don't do anything. You sit here and don't do anything. And then when your friends came up, it probably heard your friends coming and thought it's time to go. That's my uneducated opinion on what happened.
Well, you're more educated than me by far on the subject, but before we even heard a noise, I thought it was just me and it at first. Before we heard the noise, after I got charged, and even before we heard the noise, downhill in this thicket, before that, even when I tried to even look up, it just obviously didn't want me looking up. And I don't think now I don't think it was so much concern of me looking at it, but it was kind of me having a chance to realize that there were other ones in the general area of us. It really seemed like it was acting protectively to me.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's, young guy in your mid-20s running into something like this. God, I can't even imagine. It's probably a good thing that you were in shock and you weren't freaking out, because I think it probably would have gone a lot worse if you did. The fact that you just kind of sat there and every time it roared at you, it's kind of that old primate behavior. A lot of times with primates, if you present yourself as not a threat, Not always. This doesn't work always, but sometimes. If you present yourself as a non-threat and you're really not going to harm the creature, in the primate world anyway, a lot of primates will back off because there's no fight, so they'll back off. And that doesn't work always. Obviously, with chimpanzees, you've got a whole different demeanor you're dealing with. But with these things, I just think it was interesting how it just stood over the top of you, basically told you to shut your mouth in not so many ways and sit there. It would have been nice to get that peripheral vision of what else was going on, because you'd mentioned you heard the bushes move. I really think it was protecting its young, or thought you were a threat, and then realized once it was on top of you, you weren't really a threat. You weren't doing anything. But that fight or flight, man, I say it every time, it really does save our asses as humans, because it puts us into positions normally where you would freak out because there's so much adrenaline, so much fear. We kind of free that whole saying, you know, I'm frozen with fear. And I think it throws these things off. But thank God that we have that mechanism built into all humans, that we have this fight or flight mechanism that I think saves our life more often than not.
That's right. And you know what? It's you don't even think about it, you know. It's like it's programmed into you. I didn't know anything else to do at the time but just lay there. It also had to do with the fact that, you know, I was just racked with pain and hurting all over so bad. You know, I couldn't have, you know, jumped up or freaked out or done anything crazy if I wanted to anyway, you know.
Yeah, didn't you tell me your hiking pack was bent? The metal part of it was bent from where the creature hit you?
It was. I was. And that's what really makes me think, this thing, you know, if I hadn't started to slip forward, this thing would have, if that blow would have landed on my neck or on my head instead of that, the frame of that pack, that's it, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
So, you know, in one way, I was really unlucky and lucky at the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a curse seeing these things, man. It really is a curse. You know, you're in a position like you were to where, you know, I think there's people that go into your position, to be honest with you, and were never heard from again. They're completely vanished. They disappear. And luckily, in this situation, that didn't happen. And it's terrifying, man. It's a terrifying encounter. I mean, it's an unprovoked encounter. I honestly think you slipping, just reacting to this thing coming your way, it figured, well, I'll knock this guy down. You know, this isn't a bluff charge anymore, even though it probably technically was a bluff charge. Because, like I said, if it wanted to really get you and really harm you, it would have been in a perfect position to do it. I think it was more or less to get you to back off. It was kind of neutralizing the threat. And you know, sometimes I think with these creatures too, you may have surprised it by taking your pack off, sliding. It may not have heard the other two guys pass, but it obviously heard you. And it
you mean like, what's this guy about to do next, kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of thing. You're you know, snapping a buckle, those middle buckles that go around your waist, might have sounded like a safety going off, and might, you know, like on a gun, it's the same type of click. Might have been the sound of a safety going off, or it thought it was a safety going off on a gun. You know, if you're ever in the woods and you're a distance away from deer or any sort of prey, click a safety off a gun. They can hear that, I swear to God, a mile away.
I've noticed that before. I've hunted whitetail, and I've noticed that before.
Yeah, they hear that, and they know what it is, and usually they bolt after they hear that. So I'm wondering maybe if that had something to do with it, too. Maybe it thought you were going to pull a gun. It's hard to say. It's hard. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that before. It's interesting you bring that up.
But I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing the encounter, man, very much. It's probably one of the more interesting encounters I've heard, especially being able to walk away and not be harmed by it. And then, you know, I realized you were hurt. It knocked you. It probably just slapped you and you went flying through the air. But I'm glad it didn't do any permanent damage or, you know, kill you in the same breath. It's one of the more interesting encounters I've heard for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. And I really appreciate you, you know, when I reached out, I appreciate you, you know, getting back with me. I you know, you're the first person I've ever came to with this, and in 8-9 years, I wouldn't even have contacted you if you know, I didn't really like you guys' show so much. When I came across, you know, you and Woody and Will, and you know, when you guys first started doing this this thing, I it immediately kind of struck me how down to earth and laid back, and you know, you guys are obviously you know, sensitive, intelligent, you know, nice, regular dudes like me, and you know, I said to myself, you know, this is the kind of guys, you know, I could talk to about this, and so I gave it a try. I'm glad it worked out.
No, I'm glad too, man. Thank you for the kind words, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email, wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them, fellas. Until next time, everyone, have a good night.
Spill a little.